Support for NPR comes from the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness on the web at melvilletrust.org. Brian Ford's financial analysis is made possible in part by Flat 5 Production, presenting the uplifting South African a cappella group Ladysmith Black Mambazo, January 26th at Carpenter Theater. Tickets available at the box office or etix.com. Andy Foldenauer joins us now on the line from RBC Wealth Management, filling in today for Brian Ford. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Wayne. Good to be here.
Okay, welcome. Well, listen, only a couple of more weeks are left before we tie a bow on 2013. And by and large, it's been a banner year for U.S. stocks, although the past few weeks we've lost a little bit of steam, with the stock market now down a couple of percent for December. What seems to be the cause of that?
Yeah, you're right, Wayne. Our 25% return year-to-date on stocks does provide a nice present for most investors as we wrap up the year. You know, as for the recent weakness, I think it's simply a profit-taking after what has been a significant move higher over the past year and a half. You know, it's been a relatively quiet news week, although one item that will have most investors' attention this week is the meeting of the Federal Reserve. We have talked about the topic of the Federal Reserve scaling back in their stimulus measures for some time now, and just to briefly recap for those listeners that are new to the topic, the Fed has been very accommodative and supportive in the short run to the economy with their policy for the last 5 years. And now that the economy is showing signs of standing on its own, they are looking to take their foot off the gas pedal and scale back on the amount of stimulus being pumped into the system. And analysts are eagerly trying to figure out when the Fed will take these steps and how much they will scale back. As for individual investors, whether the Fed tapering begins this week or in January or March, the more important point or consideration is to determine whether fixed income portfolios are prepared to withstand another 0.5 to 0.75 point move higher in 10-year government bond yields during the next year. Also looking into next year, the Fed tapering combined with a stronger U.S. economy could lead to continued strength of the U.S. dollar versus other currencies.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that word tapering is going to be one we're going to be hearing a lot of in the new year. If we do see an environment that we would have a stronger dollar, what does that mean for the average individual or investor?
Yeah, good question. To provide a little background, the U.S. dollar has been strengthening since mid-2011, mainly because the U.S. economy appears healthy by comparison to the rest of the world, which has been sluggish recently. In looking at the investment implications, there have been two sustained dollar rallies in the past 40-plus years. The first was from 1980 to 85, and then again in 95 to around 2002. An interesting item to note during those rallies has been the poor performance of real assets, especially gold and commodities. And while real assets can provide some protection against inflation and a declining dollar, they can also perform poorly when inflation is low. And in the current low-growth environment, inflation has been declining, and some observers believe it could remain low for a while. In contrast, a strong dollar historically has benefited stocks and bonds, and this type of environment in the past has been associated with a strengthening economy, which typically results in improved corporate finances and higher stock prices.
Well, that's something definitely to keep our eyes on for next year. Now, if you would keep your forecasting hat on, what else are you looking out for next year?
this can be a dangerous exercise. Yep. First I would say we're expecting stronger U.S. and global economic growth and no U.S. recession. Most economies are better than they were a year ago, and leading indicators suggest they will improve further. We see it as unlikely that the U.S. will fall into a recession in the near future. And, this is crucial because U.S. recessions are surefire killers of equity bull markets. Bonds should underperform again. I alluded to this a little earlier when talking about the effects of the Federal Reserve policy. As the U.S. and global economies continue to pick up speed, we believe bond prices will come under pressure again as yields follow growth higher. Bond yields are only partway through an upward adjustment that will bring them back to a level where investors are adequately compensated for risks of future inflation. And, third, I would say, stocks should deliver worthwhile returns, but not as robust as 2013. Better global economic activity should support earnings growth in most equity markets, and stock market valuations are not stretched to the degree that would warrant concern. Now, I will be the first to say that I wouldn't be surprised to see an interest rate-induced correction at some point if bond yields rise faster than people expect, but You know, even if that occurs, we expect moderate gains for most markets for the full year as economic improvement and earnings growth will likely trump any short-term hiccup related to bond yields. You know, one last one is the U.S. energy revolution has picked up dramatically and ought to contribute to a larger global oil surplus in 2014. The U.S. is actually set to surpass Russia as the world's second largest producer of oil in the second half of next year.
Okay. As we wrap up, are there any last-minute items that individuals should be thinking about before the year's end?
Yeah. You know, aside from all the shopping and party planning, you know, don't forget year-end tax strategies that may benefit you. You know, several fall under the charitable giving or giving categories, such as, you know, contributing to charities using appreciated stock in place of cash, which avoids income tax on the built-in gains. You know, for investors age 70 and a half or older, you can gift through your IRA using a qualified charitable distribution to satisfy part or all of your annual required minimum distribution. You know, also, individuals can gift up to $14,000 per family member in federal tax-free gifts. You know, as for retirement planning, don't forget to maximize or increase IRA or 401k account contributions and to take your required minimum distribution if you're past the age of 70 and a half. So Wayne, just a you know, few more items for people to potentially add to their to-do list during this busy holiday season.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks to Andy Foldenauer sitting in today for Brian Ford. Brian will be back next Monday, and I understand he will have his annual Night Before Christmas parody, and we'll look forward to that. The Brian Ford Report is not a research recommendation for any particular company and does not provide legal or tax advice.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm David Green. Good morning. Europe's biggest economy finally has a